Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch's sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to episode 26 of your favorite Pokemon podcast. A wild podcast has appeared, the official Pokemon podcast of comicbook.com. How many times can I say Pokemon in the first minute? Go!
At least 30.
I'm one of your hosts, Jim Viscardi, and as always, I am joined by Megan Peters and Christian Hoffer. Welcome, guys.
Hello, hello.
If you are new to this show...
That was creepy.
If you're new to this show, we break it down into three parts. We do a news break, we do a deep dive, and then we do a Pokemon fact of the week. It's Halloween, so all of them have been a little bit more disturbing than they normally are. It's really a lie. They've all been disturbing, no matter what month, but these especially so. If you are a Pokemon fan, this, like I said, this is the show for you. We cover it all. We cover the trading card game. We cover the video games. We cover the stuff. We cover the culture. You name it. It's got Pokemon right before it in its name. We're talking about it. You guys excited for this week?
Yeah.
We got
some solid anime to talk about.
It's true.
It's just like fantastic right
there's
now.
There's a good amount of stuff.
And unfortunately, some Pokemon Go mishaps.
That I'm excited to get to. But first, let's talk about another game that's suffering some mishaps. Pokemon Masters. If you've heard us before talk about this game, we had very, very high hopes for it.
Well.
Christian had very high hopes for it.
I did.
It transferred on to me. I had very high hopes for it. Megan didn't care. She didn't even bother to install it until like a week later. Then,
whoa.
Apparently, everyone stopped playing.
I installed it the day up. But understood it was awful.
Right, because you had it preloaded. And,
because Hoffer had it pre-downloaded. Yeah. And then you jumped on point.
And then I jumped on point. Well, apparently, no one's playing the game.
No one.
So there was a recent chart that came out which showed estimated daily sales, basically from the start of the game to today, and it's bad. It's bad. So it like started off where it's like, oh, it's making like $300,000 a day. You know, that's you know, pretty decent for a mobile game. Now it's making like $10,000 a day here in the U.S.
Well, that was for Android, right? Or was that?
No, that I believe was for all estimated sales in the United States.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. So you know.
Wow.
This obviously doesn't show the whole picture. This game is probably doing better in Japan, as you know, mobile games are the primary form of video games over there. But you know. Things ain't looking
stateside,
too hot.
Not so much. Yeah.
I'm going to be totally honest, like me being plugged into like the Japanese fandom and culture pretty intensely with work, like no one's talking about that mobile game. They only talk about Grand Fate Order. That is the game they talk about. Several new of the like updates came to that game. Mm. So like it was pretty interesting for a bit, and you would see a lot of people kind of like chattering about it and putting up like screenshots. But I think Japan is suffering from the exact same stagnancy issue that every player is experiencing, that we three have experienced.
Yeah, look, there's a lot of things that I think we as a group take issue with the game. It gets very grindy very fast. The gacha elements are
It's frustrating even for a gacha.
Yeah,
even for a gacha, which like surprised me because in Japan they are very much used to that style of gameplay for mobile games. Mm-hmm. That's like the primary form of games that they do. They're used to it, but to see how quickly it dropped off the conversation radar.
The story got super old super quick once you were able to get through it. The trainers that they were adding no one really seemed to care about.
Yeah, that was one of the things. So I wrote up this article yesterday, and I pulled up the Pokemon Masters like title screen, the original piece of promo art they used. And one of the things that struck me was of all the trainers that they showed on there, only two of them's currently available in the game, and it's Brock and Lyra. Like, you know, there's no Lance, there's no Red, there's no Steven Stone, there's no Cynthia. Like, none of, like, the trainers that, like, this game really kind of, like, pushed for are, like, really present in the game. And that's really frustrating. Like, they've kind of learned this, like, hard lesson. Like, people aren't going to wait for Red. People aren't going to wait for Steven Stone. They're just going to drop the game. Like, how they should have done this in hindsight was they should have had, like, okay, you want Red? Here's Red. And then, like, you know, a few months later, say, now we have a new version of Red. I mean, that's what all these other games do. I mean, one of the big complaints, I was just on the Pokemon Master subreddit the other day, and one of the big complaints was, look at all the other gacha games. They're all running Halloween events right now. So, like, right now, you can get, like, special Halloween costume forms of all your favorite characters. And you can't do that in Pokemon because they're too busy promoting, you know, the one of the Gen 5 starters that no one cares about.
Yeah. It seems like they're, like, trying to, like, push through the basic stuff so they can, like, try to hurry up to what, like, Pokemon Go is doing or sometimes doing with its like alternative festival like seasonal stuff or like what other gacha games are doing. It's just a mess. I mean, we knew it was a mess when like the creators of the game had to like put out a statement being like, sorry, we messed up.
Yeah.
But like there it has just crashed and burned.
It's sad.
Yeah, it's I mean, I was gonna say it.
Yeah, here it comes.
You wouldn't have seen this in Pokemon Duel.
I mean you did.
No.
I mean, yeah.
You did months later, but not when Pokemon Duel came out.
Jim, were you playing Pokemon Duel back in like 2016 when that game came out? 2015?
Yeah, sure. I think so. I felt like I was. I don't know. I had it on my phone for a real long time, and then I dropped it.
I mean, because the thing with Pokemon Duel was they never released any new story content. They just released.
That's true.
You know, they literally just released it, stopped doing it, and they were like, yeah, we're just going to release some new figures from time to time to kind of, like, draw in money.
Well, see, I guess that was the thing for me. I mean, I, like, sure, the story was whatever, but I actually just enjoyed playing the actual, just, I guess, PvP element of it. That I enjoyed much. Whatever, the game lasted longer than this one is probably going to.
Yeah, probably. I mean,
yeah.
I'm not going to argue with that.
At this point, I'm trying to, like, figure out, like, what Pokemon Masters could do to, like, salvage its reputation.
Announce Red tomorrow.
Like, even that.
I don't think that
even
would be
that,
enough.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it'd be enough, but it definitely
like,
would probably.
Like, I really am struggling to figure out, like, what they could do to, like, salvage
well,
the disaster
the,
of
the
this game.
The game moves really slowly in, like, co-op and, like, in the late game. Like, even if you take away the grindy stuff, like, you know, that's fine. Grinding is a part of these, like, free-to-play gacha games. But, you know, they would need to, like, suddenly dump a lot more characters, make it a lot easier to obtain those characters, and they need to speed up the game. I mean, playing online, you know, battles is, like, pulling my freaking eyes out. Playing it on, like, you know, on the normal speed is just, yikes, man. Yikes.
It's true.
Yeah. And also, I mean, I feel like we are rightfully difficult on this game, but also just like every game that has come out mobile from Pokemon since Pokemon Go is under like 20 times more scrutiny than like Duel was. So like when that came out, they're like, oh, this is a good game. Like it might not be super great, but Pokemon didn't have like the metric to compare it to.
Yeah.
But now it has the metric that is Pokemon Go. And so like in comparison, Masters is just hard. But a $10,000 spending thing for the US, that is yikes.
Yeah, that's pretty rough. It's not the best look for, you know, and like I said, you know, this is DENA, the company that makes this. They are very well respected mobile game maker. That's
they make a lot of good games.
They do. Mm-hmm. And that's like what's really surprising about it is they really dropped a steamer on this, and you know, it's sad. Like I like DeNA's other games, and obviously I like the Pokemon Company. And
are they the ones that do the Marvel Future Fight, or is that someone else?
I can't remember if that's one of their ones or not. Like I said, I don't know if this is because of like interference from the Pokemon Company. Because, I mean, that's possible. That was, like, one of the things that I was thinking was, like, okay, so you have, you know, because, like I said, you should have been running a Halloween event for this game.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, I was, like, thinking, why wouldn't they? And, like, the only thing that I could think of is, like, you know, maybe they're worried about, you know, maybe the licensing is just too hard to work around, or maybe there's just a level of
That's gotta be weird. I mean, especially so when Pokemon is going all out for Halloween. Like, if Pokemon in general was not doing anything for Halloween,
but that's what the
I'd say, okay.
But I mean, even look at Pokemon Go. I mean, we'll talk about this later, but you know,
sure.
You know, it took them 3 years to get a non-Witch Hat Pikachu.
Yeah. I don't know. I think part of it might be that interference, or also the fact that the Pokemon Company is really trying to figure out or get to the bottom of what they can do to fix Pokemon Masters, so they don't feel like bothering with giving them these fancy accessories when they know there's bigger, more fundamental issues at play that they need to fix. Mm-hmm. And secondly, part of me just wonders if it wasn't necessarily interference from the Pokemon Company, but the teams working on this game was like, it's Pokemon mobile game. It'll do well.
Yeah.
It's Pokemon. Like, that's the other thing, like the branding aspect of it. Like, it'll sell itself. We won't really need to like do much to it because people love Pokemon Go. They want Pokemon Sword and Shield. They'll get this. And then it just wound up that it was way more intensely scrutinized than they expected. But either way, ouch.
Well. Yeah.
Sorry, Pokemon Masters, but
you tried.
You tried. Moving along to the Pokemon trading card game.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
This one coming up is going to be the biggest one yet, and it's not just because it's getting V cards.
Yeah, no, this one actually is the last one not to have V cards, Jim.
Oh, right, this is the Sun and Moon one.
Yeah, this is right, the capstone.
Final Sun and Moon set.
This is the capstone to Sun and Moon. It's called Cosmic Eclipse, and it has been confirmed that there are a minimum of 273 cards, either 273 or 271.
Good Lord.
There's a ton. That does include the secret rares. That's what pushed them over that 270 and kind of, you know, got them over the loop. But they have released now like three massive sets in the last 2 years, you know, that with just a ton of cards. I'm not complaining too much. I like these Pokemon sets. You know, I think that the collector mentality is nice.
Yes,
you know, that's I think has something to do with it, but at the same time, these things are huge. It will take people months to, you know, get all these cards, you know, even if you're like willing to put in some money, you know, just because the number of secret rares that are involved and, you know, the full art cards and all that stuff, it's going to be huge.
I'm going to be sad to see this era of Sun and Moon cards go.
Yeah.
There are a number of sets from this that I liked and I thought had really fun cards in them. I think more recently I really liked the Unified Mind set, and there were a few others. So I mean, I can't imagine, you know, the next iteration of this instead of this is going to be much different. Especially, you know, just knowing what we know already that's coming out, I think we'll be in for some. I mean, don't get me wrong, Sun and Moon had some duds. But I would say overall, I mean, I've liked a good chunk of them.
What really impressed me about the Sun and Moon era of the cards was it felt like the art was a lot better quality than X and Y. Like, you know, like there's always going to be some cards that are going to use that, like the stock, like Sugimori art that you see in like the video, in like not the video games, but like what they use, like, you know, the official artwork. But there wasn't as many of those. They seemed a little bit more willing to take some risks. Like, you know, the tag team cards were a great addition. You know, I thought that, you know, bringing it back, moving away from that EX model where it was all about, like, getting out these powerful cards, like, basically right out of the get-go and moving to this more, like, evolution focus. I mean, that changed when the tag team cards came into effect. But even those had like big consequences to them. Like you, you know, you lose one of those.
Right. You couldn't just, you couldn't just put those out, and like you had to put them out at the right time.
Yeah. So, you know, from both a gameplay level and from a collector's level, I thought this was a really solid set. You know, the Pokemon Company did some really solid work here on Sun and Moon. I'm excited to see what they got in store for Sword and Shield. Like I'm really excited about this upcoming Sword and Shield set when it's eventually announced. It probably won't come out until like February 2020.
Right. For sure. I don't expect it to come out this year.
Yeah.
It'll be
No. But well, the weird thing is that I don't even know if it's been announced over in Japan yet. So there's a rumor that we're going to move to like simultaneous releases. So that, like, you know, right now, everybody but Japan is on a 3-month delay. So the sets come out in Japan, and then they're, you know, released everywhere else 3 months later. And there's a rumor that that's going to be changing here with this new Sword and Shield set, which makes a lot of sense given, like, the global scale of, you know, the Pokemon community. And, you know, now with the bolstered online stuff and, you know, like, world championships are kind of weird because there's, like, one country that has cards that are 3 months, you know, come out 3 months after, every, you know, 3 months before everybody else.
Now, if they would just do that with the anime, that'd be great.
I mean, this could just be all signs pointing to that, right?
Like, it's not going to... I mean, here's the reality about the anime. As long as Disney, you know, XD has, like, the rights to it, Disney doesn't care about simuldubs.
Disney is much like Netflix in the same way that when Netflix gets an anime property... It's going to wait 3 to 4 months to put it out, which is awful, and I hate it, and they shouldn't do that.
I mean, even, so, it's really funny. My dad is a big My Hero Academia fan, but he doesn't have Funimation, so he has to wait for it to come out either on Hulu, which, you know, is through Crunchyroll, or through Toonami, which, you know, it won't, like, the new season won't be out on Toonami for months. And so he was, like, complaining to me. He's like, when's the fourth season of My Hero Academia coming out? I'm like, I've actually watched the last two episodes dubbed. it's like you just gotta buy Funimation, Dad. You just need to get a subscription. It's not that hard. But he was like complaining about it. And like, you know, it would be the same thing with Pokemon. Like, you know, there's just, unless like Funimation gets their hands on the license, which will never happen because Pokemon is way too big of a franchise for them to try to get some exclusive on. And I think, you know, it's dubbed by a different company. So like the licensing is just totally different. It's just, sadly, it's not going to happen. I wish it would.
They said that about Robotech 2, Hoffer, and you know what happened this weekend?
Yeah.
Funimation got it.
Well, so, you know what the difference is between Robotech 2 and Pokemon? One is still an active franchise, while the other one is like, oh shoot, this thing still exists.
Hey, I'm just saying, complicated licensing can be dealt with.
Right, but Disney does very, very well with Pokemon. I can't imagine.
I don't know if I'd say that.
Pokemon, let's rephrase that. Disney makes a lot of money off Pokemon.
There we go.
That's what I mean. Well, it's the same thing.
And from the Pokemon, look at it this way. From the Pokemon Company's perspective, which would you rather have? Would you rather have simuldub, but it's limited to, like, Funimation, a streaming site that children don't have ready access to, or would you rather have it air on the biggest child's network television show, like, a television channel, like, on the planet? Like, that's owned by literally the largest entertainment thing on the planet. You can't even call it a company. It's basically its own, like, I don't know.
I'm just gonna be honest. With the changing of streaming services, none of my cohorts with kids who are watching Pokemon that I know that are around my age have cable, so they don't have ready access to like Disney XD and they can't watch it. And
aren't they stealing their parents' cable?
Or no. don't they have YouTube TV, which, you know, that's how I watch my Pokemon.
I mean, no. I watch it just because. I mean,
they just have Netflix and they just have like Hulu and a couple other things, and they would splurge if they could get access, but. Anyways,
way back when my parents set me, like, gave me my own email address on, they live in New York, so they're on Optimum.
And we're about to hear another Jim scamming story.
Here we go. And so, but because of that, I can still, like, log into it when, like, you know, like on Apple TV, if you log into a, one of the TV channel apps, like, log in with your service provider. And so I just log in with my high school email address, and sure enough, there I go, I have it. Hey, all right.
Oh, man. Hey. Just, you know, one of these days we're going to have to change this podcast name to, like, From a Wild Podcast Has Appeared to a Wild Podcast About Jim's, like, Minor Financial Crimes.
So. They're not problems, they're solutions.
That was a very on-brand thing to say.
All right, let's move on. Build-A-Bear Workshop is getting another Zelda Pokemon.
Yes. Yep. Yes.
And I would say of the ones that they have done, almost all of them, I think, have been slam dunk hits.
Mm-hmm.
The only one I think I don't really like is Meowth. That's just more of a personal, I just don't really like Meowth in general. I mean, these have been great. They've done Pikachu, they've done Squirtle, they've done all the starters. So Pikachu, Squirtle, Bulbasaur, Charmander, Jigglypuff, Psyduck, Meowth. I think
Snorlax.
That's... Oh, and Snorlax. Snorlax
that,
is.
I want that Snorlax almost more than I can tell you.
Yeah,
I just, like, I'm on a budget, but I want that Snorlax so bad.
Yeah.
I want it. Sorry. I collect these Pokemon ones when I have money. I love them so much, but I want that Snorlax.
The Snorlax is really awesome. I'll straight up agree with you. If there was, you know, like $60 of like disposable income in my budget, I would splurge for sure.
Same.
But I would say these are on par, if not better, sort of bang for your buck wise with a plush that you may get from the Pokemon Center store.
Well, you know, the Pokemon Center is in the business of making merchandise. Build-A-Bear is in the, you know, business of making plushes. You know, I think that's like the big difference there, is why the quality is different. And by the way, since we haven't actually mentioned what the new Pokemon is,
Were you?
Okay, then never mind. I won't spoil it. Go on, Jim.
Well, no, go ahead. You're going to spoil it anyway.
It's Pichu. And like the thing with Pichu is its ears are huge. I mean, these things are like the size of freaking kites, man.
Yeah, so if you thought, I mean, like I said, this one is dumb adorable. Like, it is just,
it's so cute. Mm-hmm. I want it so much.
It's like, I generally don't like Pichu as a Pokemon kind of in general.
Mm-hmm.
But looking at this one, just because of how big it is pretty freaking cute.
So the only reason I'm not going to get this Build-A-Bear Pichu, there's a very specific reason, and that's because my son doesn't quite understand the concept that Pichu is actually a baby Pikachu. So my kid has multiple, like probably about a dozen Pikachu plushes that he's like collected over the years. And his most recent ones are ones from the Pokemon Center. And to differentiate them from his many other Pikachus, he calls this one baby Pikachu. And because it's like a little bit smaller. And so like this is like his new favorite. He carries it around with him everywhere. He has one at school. He has one at home. And then he brings the one from school home on the weekends so he can sleep with two baby Pikachu. And so whenever he sees like a Pichu in like, you know, like a book or something like that, he's like, what the hell's this? And I was like, that's actually a baby Pikachu, John. That's Pichu. And he's like, no, this is a baby Pikachu. And then he'll hold up baby Pikachu. I'm like, oh man, I don't know. I don't even know what to do here. Sure, no, let's go with it. Pichu doesn't exist.
I just don't want to ruin his worldview.
Yeah. I totally left off like three really big ones. They've also done Eevee,
mm-hmm.
and they've done two different Vulpix,
mm-hmm.
and regular Vulpix and Alolan Vulpix.
And they've done Piplup as well. Piplup, I believe, is still available. Yes.
Oh, did they do Piplup?
Yeah, I had Piplup. Oh. I was able to get Piplup.
Did they do Snubbull?
Yes. Yeah, that was.
It was with the Detective Pikachu, right?
Yeah,
they've done way more than I thought they did.
Yeah, the Snubbull one was like kind of like out of left field too.
That Detective Pikachu popularity that just didn't take off for Snubbull.
Yeah, well, everyone like, you know, bought into the Psyduck.
Yeah,
Psyduck was the real star.
I would have thought. I think if they had done a Ludicolo, they could have, that one probably would have done pretty well. No, you don't think so? Wait, better than Snubbull?
I mean, there's a lot of things that are better than Snubbull. But, you know, Ludicolo, I just think that, you know, just in general, I was impressed that it even made it into the movie due to the, like, uncomfortable, like, nature of that Pokemon. like, I feel like it would be for the best for the Pokemon Company just to, like, quietly, like, yes, this is a Pokemon that exists. We're not going to give it any sort of, like, you know, attention.
So basically what they did with Porygon.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Basically what they did to poor old Porygon.
I mean, I just, I remember when Ludicolo just came out, and, like, I was just like, whoa, what the heck is going on with that? That is not, yeah, like, I am uncomfortable with that.
Well, he never took off, but they're hoping Pichu takes off. And I would love that. I still have to get Snorlax first. And then I want Pichu.
Yeah.
I just have like a list of things that I want. Plus, they're coming out with like an Eevee Funko Pop or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
are they finally starting to branch out that
way? It's like a 10-inch one.
Well, the rumor is that we're going to get 5 more Funko Pop, Pokemon Funko Pops here, like in time for the holiday season. That's the big rumor that, you know.
Evolutions.
I mean, there are 5 plus evolutions, but you know,
yes,
they,
there are.
So far they've only done what, like the Funkos, they've only done Pikachu, the Kanto starters, and now Eevee.
Yeah, there's 2 different Pikachus and then the starters.
Oh yeah, because there's like large Pikachu
and... No, there's like winking Pikachu.
Yeah, there's like God. There was a Target exclusive one, and then there's like a general one you can find.
I'm trying to like hold back my disdain for Funko Pops right now.
I have several.
I like the Kanto starters are pretty cool. Those I like, and the Pikachu is the original Pikachu is nice. Other than that, I'll be curious to see how the other ones roll out.
But. I definitely want them. I love them so much.
Before we get into our deep dive Pokemon Go discussion, we got one more thing. I don't even know what this one is.
Oh,
I just wrote down my note card as Ash and Pikachu can Kamehameha.
They absolutely obliterated the father-son Kamehameha in Dragon Ball Z. It was beautiful.
It was one of the most ridiculous things I have ever seen, just in general.
Fill me in. What am I missing?
So Pokemon Sun and Moon had its latest episode come out this weekend. It saw Ash and Pikachu finish their battle with Professor Kukui. And so he brought out Tapu Koko, which is like this land spirit guardian Pokemon. Super OP. Mm-hmm. Definitely Pikachu should not be able to beat this, but Pikachu has taken on legendaries and mythicals and Ultra Beasts before.
This is not even the first legendary it's beaten in this series.
So Pikachu is just like a boss. Like, I know what to do. And Ash was like, I'm going to help you. So their Z crystals, they like came together. And like Pikachu did this like crazy power up with electricity. He was shooting out like rainbow sparks. And then Ash and Pikachu came to the side and just pulled out a Kamehameha.
Oh my God.
And it was beautifully animated. Palms out. They did the right backup. Like, the entire motion was the same. It was not a Hadouken. It was a Kamehameha.
Oh, my gosh.
It was perfect. And I was watching it. The animation is beautiful, and the fight was gorgeous. Definitely one of the best Pokemon trainer battles in the series, period, to date. Not just Sun and Moon. But I was thinking, I was like, why are they referring to Dragon Ball in this anime? And then I remembered, way before Dragon Ball, Kamehameha, that's the name of the founder and the first, like, ruler of Hawaii.
Yes.
Alola is based on Hawaii. And I was like, oh, that makes so much sense to perform the Kamehameha wave in honor of, you know, actual Hawaiian, like, history.
They've done a really good job leaning into the Hawaiian-ness of the...
They did a really amazing job.
Yeah.
Like, what, for sure, the best, like... translation of a real
region.
Culture and state or country or place to a region.
Well, this Alola was the first region where they really like leaned into the actual regional culture. Like so, you know, before, so Unova was the first time they went off, like, you know, out of Japan, you know, and that was supposed to be like New York City, and you know, that one was weird. They got like Jersey is a wasteland, right? But you know, other than that, and also they had like the World Trade Center wreck for some reason. Like that was weird. But you know, it was like, oh, it's a city. It's like, okay, that's cool. And then the Kalos region was like, yeah, there's a couple of like little elements. Everyone wears berets. the Eiffel Tower's there. It's like, oh, okay. And it's like, no, and for the next one, you're literally going to Hawaii. Yeah. Like, literally, guys. Like, welcome to this island chain. Like, here's big mountains. Like, oh, yeah, the Pokemon are actually, like, Hawaiian gods. And it was, they really yeah. leaned into it. And now they're like, yeah, let's see. Like, wow, if we just start basing Pokemon on real-life regions, we can get really weird. And that's why we have Top Hat wheezing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I loved it. And as an anime person, as a Dragon Ball fan, I loved the Kamehameha reference. And as a history geek, like...
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
All of that was such a great moment. It was beautifully animated, beautifully done. The Pokemon Sun and Moon anime is absolutely going out with a bang. I'm really going to miss it.
Well, and it's like, you know, this really feels like the finale. Like, because Ash won. Ash is now the champion of the Alola region. Like, that, yeah. that's a thing. Like, you know, this isn't even, like, you know... Like, I was kind of, like, worried that it's like, okay, so he won the Pokemon League. He's battling his father, you know, Professor Kukui, you know, to determine who the Pokemon champion is. Surely they're going to, like, dial this back and, like, establish Ash still has a long ways to go. No, Ash is like, you know, like, oh, yeah, I have multiple, like, look at my mythical Pokemon. I have, like, you know, like, multiple legendaries just following me around and love me. My stupid little Rowlet can, like, take out, you know, Pokemon that are far bigger than it and that has a type disadvantage against. Like, oh, yep. Yeah, my Pikachu is literally Gohan.
Yes.
Like, you know, like, yes. if Pikachu, like, would have, like, gotten the spiky hair... when it would have done that, I would just like, you know, that
if it's like fur oh, had risen had, up, yeah, oh, that if his been. Fur, like the fur, like stood on edge to have been like, I would have probably.
Just Pikachu just sounds like mid to or early 2000s Randy Orton. It's just Legend Killer
Legend
Pikachu.
Killer Pikachu.
Like, honestly, A plus episode. If you have not seen it, watch it.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. And the Kamehameha clips is flying around the internet. So,
yeah, so many gifts.
Go watch it. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to dive into some big things happening in Pokemon Go, so stay tuned.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, Pokemon Go.
Mm-hmm.
Halloween event. Not really going according to plan.
Well, so there's a couple of... I wouldn't say it's not going to plan. So, you know, people are still getting their candies. There's some, like, weird underlying issues that it's going on with Pokemon Go right now. But I guess, so the big things that come out of the Halloween raid is, so Darkrai. Darkrai pops up, it's this new, you know, dark-type, legendary-slash-mythical Pokemon. It's technically a mythical, but in the game it's being used as a normal raid boss. Whatever. It's actually a tier 6 raid, which is nuts. Because that's not even a tier that exists.
So yeah. So for those who may be casual Pokemon Go players, define... tiers.
So, you know, tier 5 is what is typically your legendary raid scale. So, you know, however, they programmed into the game a tier 6, and the only other time it was used was for Mewtwo. So, basically, it gives the legendary Pokemon another big chunk of health, which draws out the battle and means that you need more players to defeat. It doesn't actually impact the strength of the Pokemon. So, you know, the Pokemon's attack stats and defense stats and all that stuff are still the same. It just gives it a crap ton more HP. And that is problematic if you only have a few players to play the game. Like, typically, you can take on... If you're, like, a level 39 player that, you know, actually, like, you know, like, cares about IVs and gets the ideal movesets and all that stuff, you can defeat any legendary Pokemon with probably 3 players. Here, like... You need like 4 like top tier players in order to defeat Darkrai. And so like casual groups, you need 8 to 10 players minimum.
Yeah.
And it's bad.
I hate it.
It's really bad because it can be hard because these, it's not like, you know, like, so they're the day that we're recording it, Wednesday, there's a legendary raid hour coming up. So people will know that these legendary raids are happening and in specific spots. But otherwise, you know, these things pop up. You got 30 minutes to gather your squad, show up and beat the crap out of a Pokemon. And that's hard to do. Like, you know, like it is really hard for anyone but the most like extreme players to be able to pull that off. And it's just kind of like, frankly, it's not really worth it for, you know, Darkrai.
No, it was worth it for Mewtwo because I remember when those raids were going on. Man, I was crawling over downtown. Yeah. I was, and like a lot of my group, like it was like a day that I had off, but a lot of my group, like they were working or they were off somewhere or they'd made other commitments. And so like I was just by myself and I had to just keep sneaking into like, I found this one group of like really elite players because I wasn't like, I'm not quite an elite player and I don't ever pretend myself to be one. But like these people were all like level 38 to 40. And so I was like, but they were like a pack and they like weren't being very friendly. So I would just like, I would just like follow where they were going. And I would just like stand on the other side of the building of them and I would join their group. And I think they finally figured out I kept joining their group because they eventually just like signaled me to come over. But I got the Mewtwo. But it took, I mean, there was probably a group of five of them, maybe six. And then there was me. And like, they were like legit players. Like one of them had their like binder of phones out.
Oh yeah. My gosh.
So like, it was ridiculous. There's no way I could have done that, even with my group. So,
what a strange Pokemon to do it for, too.
Well, and that's the thing. That's what like everyone's kind of like, what? You know, because you know it'd be one thing. So you know, Darkrai has set stats because it's a mythical Pokemon. All mythical Pokemon have the same like total stats, and so while there's some variation in Pokemon Go because of how the stats like the Pokemon stats translate into Pokemon Go stats, it's still like, you know, it's a dark type Pokemon. There's not a lot of great dark type Pokemon, so you know, I think it's going to end up being like the top one, but you know, it's still just like, what the heck is going on? And it's not like that complex of a raid because, you know, you just need a bunch of Machamp. So it's like, okay, so basically instead of like I need three people who have a ton of Machamp, I now need like six people with a ton of Machamp. And it's just like, it's a weird thing. And, you know, kind of like the other issue with that is costume Pokemon raids are really rare compared to like other like tier one raids. Like, you know, and it seems to be like, at first I thought like, oh, I'm just having crummy luck here. You know, because I live in a dense urban area. I have gyms that I can see from my house. And you know, gyms are right by my work and I drive down a street which has like 100 gyms. So, you know, like, and I never see costume raids. And so I was like, okay, you know, that's just bad, you know, bad luck, you know, whatever. And then like all these other people are like, where are the costume Pokemon raids? And that seems to be a pretty consistent issue that these raids are super rare. And
that, and like, and Niantic hasn't said a thing about
it. No, they haven't. And it's weird. I mean, they still have a week to go. I mean, this thing doesn't end until next Friday. So, you know, there's time to like crank it up this weekend.
Do you think they're saving it for just like Halloween, and like Halloween they're just going to be everywhere?
No, I don't. I mean, you're giving them way too much credit. I don't. Niantic, you know, they kind of have their stuff together, but they do like weird things. So like one of the things that they said, they released a thing last night, like a blog post, and they're like, hey, by the way, guys, you might have noticed some like frustrating changes that are going on in Pokemon Go. That was deliberate. We're testing some stuff. Stay tuned. And like people are like, what are you testing? Is that why, like, you know, I used to have like a Pokemon spawn point at my house. And so, like, whenever I'd open up the game, there'd be five Pokemon. And now that spawn point has moved down the street. So now my house is a Pokemon desert. And, you know, like, that's a complaint that everyone has complained about. That all the spawn points have, like, moved around just a little bit. But just enough so, like...
Well, so it's funny. I'm in for the town that I live in. I'm in two different Pokemon Go groups, and I even noticed just even over the last week, people were like, "Hey, does anyone know where this nest went or where where this went?" And I was just like, "Oh no!"
Yeah, everything shifted. Dude. Everything like shifted like 50 feet or like 100 feet or something like that. It's something like really bizarre and specific, and like yeah, it's weird. The whole thing is kind of odd.
But not all is bad. We're getting some new content coming to Pokemon Go that I think people will get excited for. It sounds like we're getting new Team Rocket stuff coming up.
Yeah, so yesterday they released another blog post that talked about these mysterious components that Team Rocket grunts will start dropping. And these mysterious components will eventually be used to power a Team Rocket radar that you can use to find Team Rocket battles against these Team Rocket admins. Which the theory is that they have legendary Pokemon, legendary shadow Pokemon under their sway.
Ooh.
And also, Giovanni has appeared in the code, so Giovanni will...
He's coming.
He is coming. His little person is, you know, popped up in the latest exists. Data mine. Yeah. So he's there. So yeah, so that content is coming up. It'll be interesting to see how they implement it. I've actually found, like, I've been doing more of the Team Rocket battles in Pokemon Go lately, and some of them are really hard. Like, I spent, like, 20 minutes, like, trying to figure out, like, the right Pokemon to use against, like, a battle against it was, like, Snorlax, Dragonite, and I think Gyarados. That was a... So, I think that's my one curse.
One curse per podcast.
And tell me more about this online battle league.
They also announced that a Pokemon, basically what you said, they're going to start doing like matched PvP online battles. It's coming in 2020. They'll be ranked, so you can like rise up the ranks. We don't know if that actually means that you'll have like a set ranking, like, you know, you'll be the number one trainer in the world, or if it's just going to be something like the I'm a master Pokemon trainer. It's like, oh well, I'm a superior Pokemon trainer. Well, I'm a, you know, universal Pokemon trainer. You know, so we don't know how that's going to work. But they said, yeah, we're doing this. It's coming in 2020. So that's pretty cool. And the other thing, which hasn't been announced yet, but we found in the data mine, is we're getting some new Galarian forms of Pokemon coming soon.
Ooh. Oh yep. Yeah.
So Weezing. Yep. Weezing.
That's probably the easiest.
Weezing, Zigzagoon, and Linone, or however you pronounce Zigzagoon's evolution. Mm-hmm. Oh. All three of them are coming to the game here soon. Those
I'll take it.
Yeah. I'm pretty excited about that. The Alolan ones went super well.
Yeah.
Vulpix. He stole my heart. Still love that.
All right, before we get to the Pokemon fact of the week, I do want to say we got an amazing review in over the last week that I'm going to read after we do the Pokemon fact of the week. But if you want a chance to win a free comicbook.com t-shirt, all you have to do is head on over to iTunes, give us a 5-star review, and if we read it on the air, we'll send you one of those sweet t-shirts. Out of spite, I was going to send Christian's costume Bulbasaur to him, sans shirt. But I think, look, it's a bit now. We have to keep
it
going.
Yeah, I know. Like, you know, people are just like, I'll give him the shirt. It's like, I don't even care about the shirt. I care about the thought about
Hopper,
caring about the
ultimate
shirt.
Revenge would be for you to create your own comic book t-shirt. Wear it on podcast.
That I would advise against.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that will get me in trouble and or fired.
You can't just like draw a little C on your shirt.
I will.
I'm going to get a CB shirt, and it's like, no, this is my CB Cebulski shirt, who is the editor in chief of Marvel.
Or it could be your, like, C. Hoffer, C. Bus.
Yeah,
you got a CB in your
team. All right, there we go. All right, Christian, what's the Pokemon fact of the week?
Okay, so we're continuing our theme of creepy ghost types, and so this week we're going to talk about Shedinja, which is a bug/ghost-type Pokemon. Now, Shedinja is a weird Pokemon. This was probably, like, the first, like, truly, like, weird evolution Pokemon. So, Shedinja, it evolves from Nincada. So when Nincada evolves into Ninjask, if you have an empty Pokemon slot in your team when that happens and you have a Pokeball available, Shedinja will just appear. So that's like, you know, it was weird back in Gen 3. This Pokemon's been around forever. The creepy thing about it is, so this Pokemon is literally the empty husk of, you know, Nincada when it evolves into Ninjask. And there is a hole in the back of this Pokemon, you know, assumably where Nincada came out, because, you know, this is based on a cicada and you see their shells everywhere. But the
never going to look at cicadas the same way again.
But the thing is that if you look into the hole, allegedly, Shedinja will suck your soul out. All right. So this is still, once again, just the default. So Shedinja sucks your soul out. Here's where it gets really dark and twisted. When you use Shedinja and you throw it out and it pops up in the game, you know what you see? You see the hole on the back because you're the Pokemon's in front of you. You're looking into the hole. That is the default, and that's what's been since Gen 3. Anyone who has used Shedinja since these games, yeah, since 2001 or whatever, whenever Pokemon Ruby and Sapphire came out, is soulless. If you use Shedinja, because you don't get a choice. You see the hole. It's clearly there.
Just there. Well, what if it's full? What if it's already taken someone's soul?
There's no limit to souls, Jim. That's not, souls don't have, like, you know, a like, you know, they don't have mass. You know, they're ectoplasm at best.
Like the Soul Stone. Like, think Thanos. See, how many people did he snap?
Yeah.
Get in there. It's like that. But hi, hello, my name is Megan Peters, and I'm apparently soulless because I've definitely played that Pokemon since then. So.
Well, I always thought, like, the weird Halo thing that it's got was weird. But I don't know. Maybe now it all makes sense.
Well, and also,
it's all dead people.
It also provides a little bit more context to exactly why Bulbasaur's Halloween costume this year is so frightening. Because he's going as Shedinja. He's like, oh, it's like, you know, like Pikachu's like, I'm going to dress as this, like, you know, creepy Pokemon who, like, tries to impersonate me. And Charmander's like, I'm going to put on my dead mom's skull. And Yamask is like, hey, look, I'm like the, like, voodoo doctor version of Yamask, which, you know, is a Pokemon which walks around with its human face in its hands. And, like, Bulbasaur's like, yeah, I'm going as the Soul Sucker, guys.
Great. Great. Very on brand for Bulbasaur, in my opinion.
All right. Well, with that, let's go into podcast reviews, because there's no real way to transition out of
it. No, not really.
Okay. Crap. So I can't read the full headline of this one, but I'm assuming it's Get Your Pokeballs and Catch This Pokemon Podcast is what I'm assuming. Nice. Or Pokecast. What I'm assuming. It's from Drew Cephal Blues. This is long.
This is paragraphs. This is an essay.
'Twas fate that led me here. One day I had a realization that I longed for conversations dealing with Pokemon, and then it came to me in a dream. Search for thy podcast dealing with Pokemon, and only the very best, like no one ever was. When I woke, I didn't actually search right away. I did my normal routine, 3:30 a.m. routines, in getting ready for work. But once I was at work, I started searching for podcasts only to be disappointed until I saw A Wild Podcast Has Appeared had posted their first episode. I listened and it was everything I wanted and more. Sometimes, patiently, sometimes like an addict contemplating how far one would go to get their fix, I wait for Thursday for the newest podcast. Nice. Like having to catch them all, this podcast covers everything possibly Pokemon news related that you wish to know. The hosts make sure to cover everything and love Pokemon as much as you, if not more. And I applaud their passion and valiantly defend their favorite Pokemon. I, too, have a special place in my heart for Bulbasaur in his evolutionary line. He was my first Pokemon in the Pokemon Blue games. Vaporeon has always been my favorite EV evolution, and I will proudly say that I have always liked the aesthetics of Geodude and Golem. I truly wish that he was a better Pokemon to use. but he too will always hold a place in my heart, much like a foundation holds a building up. Hold fast to your love of Golem, Jim, and never self-destruct. For your sake and possibly everyone, the sake of others. I implore everyone to give this podcast a chance, for if you love Pokemon, you will love this podcast. I've incorporated it into my life in most aspects of my life. I listen to it at work, long car rides, during important safety meetings, at romantic dinners, and have even brought it to the bedroom for special romance with my lady. Okay, that last bit isn't true, but don't let that stop you from exploring your own kinky experiences. Just remember to communicate and have safe words, such as, say, insert your Pokemon's name, has fled. Is this how you get a shirt? I feel like this is how you get a shirt. If not, that's cool, because this is a really good podcast. Keep up the good work, and I'll be listening. Slips back into the darkness like a Zubat. Flap, 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 flap.
What?
Honestly, 10 out of 10. Not even a 5 out of 5. That's a 10 out of 10 review.
That was a journey, guys. That was a journey that we just went on together.
When you listen to this, get your t-shirt. Please find me on Twitter and just like, please, just message us. Just I want to like congratulate.
I need to follow you.
I need to meet you. I need to know who you are, because that was amazing.
That was an,
oh, it was enlightening.
An excellent.
I appreciate,
and you will get a t-shirt.
I appreciate this person's like expert twist of the knife with the Geodude reference. I mean, that is a great A. As the expert Geodude basher, you know, that was a quality.
What I will
one.
Say is the bar has been raised.
That review.
The
yeah.
bar has been raised.
Yeah. Woo.
You're gonna get a T-shirt. You may get 5 T-shirts for that one. I don't know yet.
You're gonna be a lot.
But if you want a chance to get a shirt, leave us a review. Be like this guy, and tell all your friends. Bring the podcast into romantic encounters. I don't really.
Please do not do that. I refuse to be held responsible.
Whatever helps spread the word.
Oh, God.
A wild podcast has appeared. I will take it. If you want to get in touch with us on Twitter, by all means, hit me up at Jim Viscardi.
I'm at Megan Peters CB.
And I am C. Hoffer C. Bus.
That'll do it for us here this week. And we will catch you at the same time, same place next week. See you then.